What's going on, guys? Philip Blair here, Torch of Christ Ministries. I'm sorry that the lighting in here is kind of funky today, but I want to take a couple of minutes of your time and talk to you about some ideas that are very important, some different ideas that have come across my attention over the last day and a half, and kind of sorted and picked through them and put a couple of the ideas and concepts together. I want to talk to you about some of them so that it will help you in your spiritual walk, because I know that so many people out there are suffering and hurting and struggling, and I want you to know victory. I want you to have success in your Christian walk, and I want you to know what's right and what's real and what's truth, and I want you to be able to stand on it, and I want you to be able to reject everything else because you can identify it accurately as from the enemy. The first thing I want to talk to you about is praying out loud. Someone messaged me this morning after we messaged each other back and forth several times, and eventually they told me that they did not know that praying out loud made a difference. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. You can tell a lot about a man's faith and his prayer life if he prays out loud. All right, have a man pray out loud. You can tell how strong he is in his faith. You can tell if he's been on his knees lately. You can know a lot about a state, a person's state of Christianity and the status of their relationship with God through their ability or inability to pray. So I encourage you, if you are a Christian that is not accustomed to or comfortable with praying out loud, you have quite a bit of maturing to do in your Christian walk. It is imperative. It is imperative that you pray out loud. The enemy cannot read your thoughts, all right? The enemy can inject thoughts into your mind. We know this day in and day out when we call ourselves stupid and we regurgitate and re-say the same thing that the enemy's saying. All those times where you've said something hurtful to someone else and you think about it, you're like, why did I say that? When really it was the enemy. And I'm not saying that we're free from personal responsibility and accountability. I don't want you to mistake what I'm saying. We are responsible for everything that we say and do. We are responsible for the sin in our lives. But what I want you to understand here is that the enemy will put lies into your mind. He'll inject thoughts and you come into agreement with it. A lot of times we regurgitate what's been injected into our mind and we speak it into other people's lives without even thinking about it until it's too late. We're like, how did I just say that? Why did I just say that? That's so unlike me, or whatever the case might be. So often I see this happen. So we have to understand that the enemy injects thoughts into our minds and is constantly, he is trying to tell us who we are not or who we are, but in a bad way, right? Perverting the promises of God and changing our mindset, our belief system, and so on and so forth, to get us away from the truth and into either a perverted form of the truth or into deception completely. So we must know what God's word says. We must know what his promises are for our life. We need to be able to know what to stand on. If we know God's word, we know it's true, then if we see something that's a perverted form of truth or is completely deception, then we'll be able to reject it and we'll be able to stand on what we know is accurate and real and 100% true from his word. That's why we stand on the word of God. All right, so we pray out loud. We pray God's promises back to himself. These are all things that I've talked about in the past, but I'm trying to repackage it differently for you today, so you can understand why this affects your Christian walk, all right? If we pray out loud, we are speaking life or we're speaking death. We can speak word curses on our children when we criticize them or call them names or speak negative things over them constantly. I find myself doing this, especially with my oldest son, that I'm overly critical of him sometimes. And it's not even that I'm trying to do it in a bad way, but I'm just trying to steer him in the right direction. I don't like his behaviors, but I have to be conscious and I have to be careful that I'm not overly criticizing and doing more harm than good by speaking the negativity, right? We have to be able to do it. I'm not saying like positive self-talk, you know, that's a perversion of what's real. You have to understand the enemy has perverted forms of all of these godly concepts. So it is very biblical that we can speak life over people or we can speak death. We can speak blessings or we can speak curses. And the enemy will try to pervert that and say, oh, name it and claim it. Oh, you can just declare and decree all day long and God's going to bless you. That's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about standing on God's promises and speaking life into our other brothers and sisters. Speaking of which, one of the biggest things that I see us Christians doing, gets into my third point, I believe, is that I see so many Christians speaking death over themselves by calling themselves sinners. You have to understand what I'm saying. So many people are doing this. And so many people would sit here and argue with me if they were in the car with me right now and say, oh, you know what, brother, you just don't understand. This is no, it's not biblical. It is not biblical for you to call yourself a sinner if you are a child of God. I am fully aware and I fully understand that we still sin against God, that we are imperfect, and that our hearts are daily trying to go back to that same dead, sinful state that it was in before Jesus took a hold of us, shook us, and gave us a new heart of flesh. All right, I understand that we are all still stuck in this cursed, sinful flesh, and that we are naturally inclined in our carnal, fleshly ways to sin against God, and we have to walk in the Spirit. That's where we find freedom from sin. I get it. But you don't identify as a sinner. The sinner is who you used to be. The sinner is who you were years ago before you converted into the kingdom of God. Once you were adopted as a child of God and God brought you into the sheepfold and he gave you new life and he put his Spirit inside of you and he sealed your spirit with his, you became a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom of God, and you became a saint of God. You don't say, hey, good morning, sinners. No, you say, hey, good morning, saints. You greet the children of God, your brothers and sisters, as saints of God. So why do we greet others as saints, but we're so afraid to refer to ourselves as saints? And we'll say, oh, brother, you're being prideful. It's not prideful to say that you're a saint of God. All right, it's no more than it's prideful for a dog to call themselves a dog, or a cat to call themselves a cat, or a monkey to call themselves a monkey, a chicken to call themselves a chicken. You are who you are. Own it. So either you're a sinner or you're a saint. You're either going to own the fact that you're a sinner, or you're going to own the fact that you're a new creation, that you've been set free, and that you're a saint of God. Now, we understand that we're not a saint through anything of our own self-doing. We get it. The only good in us is God. The only ability we have to do good and to turn from sin is from God. But the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are not the same. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price, paid for, redeemed, brought from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious light of Christ. And in doing so, you have been adopted as his child, as a saint. Praise God, right? This is something to be overjoyed about. This is something to rejoice about, but it's something that you have to own. And when you own it, when you really understand it, when you stand on his promises, you're like, I am a saint of God. Then you now have the ability to overcome sin in a way that you didn't. As long as you keep identifying as a sinner, you're going to keep sinning. If you identify as a saint of God and that you're going to walk in holiness, you're going to walk in obedience, you're going to walk as a new creation, that you're seated in the heavenly places with Christ, that you're in, that you're a child of God, adopted and living in the castle, and you're sitting with the king, and you're eating from his table, and all the promises of God are now yours. You understand? I've given this example. I've preached this story to so many impoverished families throughout the world. This is something that we own, and we say we are sitting at the right hand of God with Christ. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. We're hidden with Christ and God. And this is something to rejoice about. It's something to be happy about. You're not a sinner anymore. You're not. You might be a saint who sins sometimes, but you're not a sinner. You have been taken from death. People who are dead and lost in sin, they're sinners. People who are saints of God, they live in holiness and walk in obedience. They abide in the light of Christ. They abide in the vine. They're bearing good fruit. And you see the love, the joy. All of Galatians 5:22, I'll list it to you if you want me to, but you understand what I'm saying. You are going to be who you identify yourself as. So the first thing you have to do is to get rid of the lies of the enemy. Stop believing what the devil tells you. And stop with these negative false notions that you're a sinner, because you're not. You're a saint of God. It's not prideful to say who you are. You're not boasting of your own ability, because you have no ability to do anything on your own. But we are boasting in Christ alone, that he has taken us just through pure grace and that we have been saved by grace through faith, and we obey him because we love him. We don't love him because we obey him. We don't earn his love, but because we obey, he loves us, therefore we love him, and then we want to obey him because we have a mutual love. He has adopted us. While we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. You understand? While we were sinners, that God sent his only son, that God sent his only begotten son so that we could all be sons and daughters through the adoption that he has provided to us if we just believe and walk in faith. These are very simple concepts that you can understand if you read your Bible. It's not something that you're going to understand in carnal comprehension. It's very simple stuff, but it might seem like Greek or Hebrew if you're thinking in your own wisdom. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that he's going to bring low the wisdom of the wise, that no man will stand before the throne of grace and boast of his own self-righteousness, that the wisdom of God is foolishness in the eyes of men. You understand, God does not work in the same ways that we work. He does things to defy our own understanding. The Jews were looking for a conquering king to come back, and yet he came as a lowly servant, seeking to serve and to wash feet and to heal and to deliver and to do things that the world had never done, to provide an example for us to live when he left. And see, the world wasn't looking for that, so they didn't see it when it happened. In the same way, if you're serving God, if God is living through you, if Jesus Christ is shining his light through you, the world is not going to see it. They're not going to understand it. You're going to be a city on a hill. Don't get me wrong. They're going to see the light. They're going to see something's different. But a lot of people are going to persecute you. A lot of people are going to come against you. But you don't identify with their lies. The enemy will speak through people, your family, your friends, people you're around at work. They're going to speak lies into your life. They're going to persecute you. You don't identify with that. In your mind, you speak life over yourself. You pray and you tell God who you are, that I have been saved and redeemed. I'm a child of God, more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God, all things are possible. I'm hidden in the shadow of your wing, whatever it takes, but you do it daily. You pray in faith that God is going to build you up, and you pray it until you believe it down to the very core of your being, because that is what it means to have an identity in Christ. Lose yourself in Christ so Christ can be found in you. Lose your identity so you can find a new identity in Christ, that you have been reborn. See, a lot of people are still living in the old man, that God has brought them out of the streets as orphans and brought them into the kingdom of God, and you're walking around the palace, but you're still wearing your orphan clothes, still thinking like an orphan, talking like an orphan, believing like an orphan. Instead of saying you're a child of the king, you're a child of the kingdom of God, now you're still thinking, you're walking through the kingdom of God, still believing that you're out on the streets, and you're eating breadcrumbs, and you're wallowing in the filth, and you're still telling yourself that you're a sinner, but this is not who you are. You can put on that robe of righteousness. Now is the time for you to understand that you've come home. You're not still feeding pigs and wallowing in the mud. You understand? Understand who you are, believe it by faith, stand on it every single day. God is faithful, and he will get you where he wants you to go. I love you. Be blessed. Share the video. I hope it helped you. And until next time, please pray for me. I'm praying for you.